Welcome to Global River Church's Teaching of the Week. We hope you enjoyed today's message. For more information about this podcast and additional resources, please visit globalriver.org.
Today I want to talk to you about the kingdom of God. I was meditating on this, and I want to ask a couple of questions before I dig into that. You look at your handout. If you don't have one, we'll get there in a minute. I want to just set up some of the foundational part. The kingdom of God. We know last Sunday, Alicia shared on the word, which is a foundation to understanding our identity that we're talking about on Wednesday nights. And the word of God, we know that all scripture, right? You can write this one down, look at it. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture, that's the Bible, is given by God for inspiration, profitable for doctrine, for reproof, to realize what's wrong in your life. It corrects us, instructs us, and prepares us for and equips us for every good work. And so last week when I said, look, you know, sometimes the word reads you, you're reading, it's like, woo, and you get convicted or you get encouraged, right? Well, then he goes on, it says, today we're going to actually look at two spiritual kingdoms. There's only two spiritual kingdoms that are identified in Scripture. There's a lot of other kingdoms of men, but there are two spiritual kingdoms. So let me ask you this. There's one kingdom and a king under Jesus, and there's another kingdom under king of the darkness, prince of the power of the air, Satan. And you're only in one or the other. You're not like, well, I'm straddling one. That's not the way it works. It's very clear by Scripture. I'll lay it out for you. You are either in the kingdom of light or you are in the kingdom of darkness. You are either dead or you're alive. That's the reality of the kingdom. Well, no, I'm physically alive. Yeah, you're physically alive. But if you to die without Christ, you are going to be with the kingdom of darkness for all of eternity. That's Scripture. Jesus spoke about hell three times more than he talks about heaven. And so this reality, no, everybody's going to be, he's a God who loves us and everybody's going to get saved. That's not biblical. That's why you need to read the word so understand. So the question is, what kingdom are you currently in? Well, Pastor, how would I know? Good question. We're gonna look at how we can know. Can you know? Yeah, you can. So we're going to look at that about how do we know which kingdom we're in. To start, let's look at Ephesians. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Remember, we always encourage, even Daniel said it Wednesday night, don't take everything you hear, right? We're supposed to test the spirit, right, to know what spirit is operating. But what do you bounce it off of? How do you know? And I know there's tension in Scripture. We've talked about, well, I believe once saved, always saved. Well, I believe you can lose your salvation. Okay, we'll find out later. There's plenty of Scriptures here, but why don't you figure out not how far from the edge you can fall off in your lifestyle. Why don't you move back and live in a way that he says, live ye holy as I am, right? Well, here, Paul writes this in Ephesians. Now, this is a church that's in revival. The book of Ephesians is really an incredible book. So it's a church in revival, and he writes in chapter 2. I'm going to look between New Living Translation, which is the word for the thought for thought translation, and King James, which is the word for word. But let's begin in verse 1. It's titled in the New Living Translation as Made Alive in Christ. And then he goes on, it says, verse 1, Paul writes, once you were dead because of your disobedience and many sins. Can I hear? Oh. Okay, one person's worried about that. You used to live in sin. You ever hear, they're living in sin. Well, there it is. You used to live in sin. Well, what is that? We're going to get there. Just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers of the unseen world. King James says, in past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air that now works in the children of disobedience. When you're in sin, living in sin, you're actually a child of disobedience and you're in the kingdom of darkness by lifestyle. And so he goes on, he says, all of us, Okay, even Paul's writing us, to the church in revival. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and the inclinations of the sinful nature, our sinful nature. But our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. But God, that's a big but right there. You might want to circle, I got it, all kinds of stuff. But God, he's so rich in mercy, he loved us so much, that even though we were dead because of our sin, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. And it's only by grace that you've been saved. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms. Pastor, I'm sitting right here right now. Yeah, but spiritually, you are in this third heaven Paul talks about. Why? Why would he do that? So God can point to all the future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace. At some point, he's going to look and say, look at this guy, Tom. Do you know where he came from? And they'll look at like, that's got to be incredible grace because, whoa, right? Or Bobby Connor, or you. How lost and how broken we were, and now but God, right? He knows how to get a hold of you. He'll bring you sometimes through kicking and screaming, oh my gosh, circumstances, until we give up. And actually, when you surrender, you actually go free. And when you die to yourself, you actually find life. That's the truth of the right side up kingdom. Totally different from the world. Let's go on. He's going to show us his examples later. God saved us by grace. Let me read the King James. You're familiar with this. Ephesians 2, 8, 9. For by grace you're saved through faith, and yet not of yourselves. It's a gift of God and not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for the good work that we should walk in them before ordained. So it's by grace. Grace is God's avenue, conduit. Think of it this way. God's grace, maybe it's the pipe that flows the love of God to us. You like the electrical analogy? It's the wiring, right? It's the grace of God that he gives through faith, because faith we know from Hebrews 11:1, right? Faith is a substance, right? Faith is a substance of things that you hope for, the evidence of things that you can't see. I was just talking to somebody who said, yeah, I had strep throat this week. I got an antibiotic. There's evidence. Goes to the doctor. There's evidence of an irritated, takes this swab, and it's got strep throat. So there's a bacterial infection there. He gives you an antibiotic, which kills the thing. You don't see the infection. All I got this symptom. It's there. What happened? The conduit, God's grace, through his gift of faith that Paul tells us in Romans chapter 12, verse 3. Measure a person by the amount of faith, or judge a person by the faith that has been measured to him by God. Not your money, not your position, not your degrees. How much faith? That's an interesting way to measure people. Well, so we know that faith is a gift, right? Faith comes by hearing, right? Romans 10, 17, faith comes by hearing the word of God. So when the word, which we know from the scriptures, right, Jesus tells us the word of God is like a seed. Remember this parable? It says the word of God goes out and it falls on some good soil and produces 100-fold, falls on some, the world comes and snatches it out. You get distracted by all the distractions of the world and you lose the very seed of faith that God tried to plant in your life because you're consumed by all the stuff that makes no eternal value. And that's the battle we're in. So that word of faith is given and we have this grace, but you got free will. So think of it, let me give you an engineering analogy. Think of the pipe running through this, we've got this grace that wants to get to you. It's God's grace that's given and wants to get this faith that's running through the pipe to you. It's a gift. And there's a valve. And your free will, you can shut that valve. You can open that valve. How much do you want from God? And so we have this opportunity. That's the gift of free will. You have the ability to operate just like Satan. People ask me, why would God create Satan? He didn't create Satan. He created Lucifer, right? Go and read the scriptures. Lucifer was this amazing cherub that worshiped God, but those angels have free will, just like you and me. They're created beings just like to worship God, to carry out the will. We know in Hebrews 1:14, it says the angels are sent as ministering spirits to assist the redeemed. When you're in a fight and, Jesus, help me! And the angel, how did I get out of that? Or when Miss Addie's driving on the highway and the Lord tells her, move over. And she didn't pray unto God. We're not sure Miss Addie would be here. Jesus, help me, right? So we know that free will, when we look at Lucifer, decides that he's going to be like God. I want to be like God. There's pride and arrogance. We read in Isaiah, right? I will be like God. I will raise myself. You see the pride and arrogance? And then he convinces one-third of the angelic realm in Revelation chapter 12 to follow him in the rebellion in heaven. And so Lucifer was created perfect as this worshiper, but in his pride and arrogance of his free will. So we have to be really careful. We're given the ability to shut off the grace of God, grieve the Holy Spirit, right? By our behaviors and our lifestyles. And the Lord's saying, no, exercise your free will to open your heart and receive the grace and the measure of faith that he gives you, right? Okay. So I want us to look at, Jesus describes these two kingdoms in Matthew 12 and Matthew 11. In fact, if you look at Matthew 12 and Luke 11, it talks about when the kingdom of God has come among you, and I cast a demon out. So if you've ever been in a place where you got some people that have been in satanic ritual abuse, the warlocks who've been blood sacrificed, when you engage them in a spiritual war, and you know that the blood of Jesus is more powerful, and you've been delegated authority to overcome, we read it, we sang it this morning, right? This power in the blood, this power in his name. Some of you can know if you've ever been involved in any form of deliverance, or you're in a really bad situation and you declare the name and the word of God as your proclamation, and then God shifts. I heard the story this morning from a lady that in the darkest hours, at the end of herself, suicidal, ready to end it all, and the radio comes on, not planned, and as a person on the radio says, someone stops and says, someone's thinking about ending their life right now, don't do it. Come on. You don't think God can intervene? So this is that place where God, he knows, but we still have free will, free opportunity, right? To do what, so we want to know that God is in control, but we need to surrender. And those kingdoms of darkness, when Jesus says in Matthew 12, he says, when I cast a demon out, then you know that the kingdom of God has come among you. Light and dark, guess who wins? When you turn on the switch, and the light doesn't come on, you don't say, what's wrong with the darkness? No, you say, what's wrong with the light here? I'm this power. I've got to check this out, right? Light always wins. And so that's why he's telling us there's a kingdom of light and there's a kingdom of darkness. In fact, and Jesus tells us in John 3 when he meets with Nicodemus, he tells him, first he sneaks there at night because he's a religious leader and doesn't want to be seen with Rabbi Jesus. And Jesus has that exchange. Don't you know that you need to be born again? He says, what do you mean? Born again. Am I going to go back in? No, you got to be born of water and of the Spirit. And then he says that the light came into the world. Jesus is the light. And we know from Revelation chapter 21 and 22, one day all light. You won't even need the sun or the moon. He's going to be the light that performs. The light came into the darkness and the darkness comprehended a night, but men endured and wanted darkness more than light. So here's that choice again. Kingdom of light or kingdom of darkness. And there is a war. Turn with me, if you will, to Revelation chapter 12. This is present tense. And it's that whole place we talk about. He actually gives pictures. Revelation's such an interesting book. Talks about what's coming. We know that the word is going to be fulfilled, and it is being fulfilled. Just look at Israel and the formation of that state and what's happening now. But then it goes on, it says, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony. So if you're in a fight, the way you win your fight is recognizing Jesus' blood, what he did for us, what you now testify in that circumstance. You have an ability. This is life and death in your tongue, and you will have what you say. That's why when we sit here and start complaining about, I'm so sick, I'm so broke, I can't. man, you are just cursing yourself from down one side or the other. That is, now, it'd be foolish, Pastor. What if there's no money in the checkbook? Okay, well, declare those things that be not as though they were, it says. Lord, I thank you that I don't know how you're going to do this, but we need money. We need to pay the bills, and there's got to be an opportunity. We could probably line up people left and right that tells you what the Lord has done there. So there is a fight that's on, overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and that love relationship. But I want to draw your attention to verse 17, Revelation 12, 17. By the way, y'all need to have a paper Bible. I've been suggesting it, but I'm sorry. You can't learn this script. I know the techie. I like my phone. One day that phone's going away, by the way. Anyway, they're going to shut it down when the Antichrist comes. He's going to control everything. So I just want to encourage you. There's something really in the way of understanding Scripture, reading Scripture. When you can highlight it, read it, the retention level of that. And then, by the way, this Bible, I got so much stuff in here that it's so precious. I got prophecies in here from years. I'm actually transferring it to another Bible now because it's starting to fall apart. But I said, no, I know exactly where that is. It's on the right side of the Bible, highlighted over here, right? Anyway, that's just an aside. Okay, so look at verse 17. Let me read King James. This whole thing is about the devil, Satan, and the war in heaven. The good news is he was thrown out of heaven with one third of the angels. The bad news is he's on earth, right? And now guess who he's after? You. All those, the remnant, this is really important language. You can look at it. Verse 17, the dragon, the devil, was absolutely angry with the woman. In Scripture, there's a obviously duplicity here. It's Israel, it's the bride, but he makes it clear. Who's the remnant? The remnant of the seed of the woman. Who are they? Those who keep the commandments of God and have a testimony of Jesus Christ. Let me read you the New Living. And the dragon was angry, verse 17, at the woman and declared war against the rest of her children, all who keep God's commandment and maintain their testimony in Jesus. That's present tense. There is a maintaining of your testimony. I don't live in a lifestyle like we read in Ephesians. You used to live like that. That's not who you are now. We've all been set free from that lifestyle. And the blood of Jesus, guess what? When you confess, this is such good news. When you confess your sin and turn and repent, he erases it. How does that happen? How does an all-knowing, all-powerful God who knows every hair on your head, who knows when you're going to live and what you're going to do and what your works are, how does he forget that? He can't see it through the blood. Right? When you stand before God and the lawyer Jesus stands, this one's mine. And the devil's there accusing, yeah, you know what they did? You know what they did in their life? You know what they... He goes, not guilty, not guilty, paid for, paid for, paid for, paid for. You got anything else, devil? This one's mine. And I don't care how dark you are. I've had people who've been trafficked, who've done so many things, who've been involved in stuff, dark stuff. And when God opens their eyes, says, you mean he doesn't remember that anymore? No, and actually it's illegal for you to bring it up. And if the world brings it up, tell them, look, it's under the blood for the glory of God. You got anything else? I was a sinner. Paul was a murderer. But now I'm a saint. Woo, that's like... Really, God? I like the word. It's good. It's really good. Okay. So let's look at, in your handout, that was a long way getting there. My wife always says, when are you going to get there? Are we going to go to college again this morning? I can't help it. I'm sorry. I can't help it. Okay. All right. Work with me and just give me grace. Give me grace. God does. Okay. Are you there? The kingdom of God. Well, he defines the kingdom of God right there on that second line. He defines in Romans 14, 17, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So we know he declares us righteous. You can look at Romans chapter 3, 4, 5, and 6. He declares you, I think, 11, 14 times. You are the righteousness of Christ because of your faith. Because of his faith, Abraham was declared righteous, and now you are his children. Your heirs and joint heirs in Galatians chapter 3. Everything Abraham had is available to you. My daddy's really rich. I just need him sometimes to transfer some of those cows, right? we need him to sell some cows, right? My kids that have the cows out in Bergall, sometimes it's like, okay, you need a little extra beef. We got to sell those cows. All right. My point of this is he declares us righteous. But in that declaration of righteous, when you understand who is the Prince of Peace, it's not your idols of food, alcohol, drugs, sex. Those are idols. If you're looking for those to medicate your pain, it'll be destructive. No, go to the Prince of Peace, who is Jesus. And when that fruit develops, once you recognize the righteousness, I get a fruit of peace and joy. Why wouldn't you be happy that God erased your sin? Or that you're going to live forever in eternity? You have it? I mean, come on, guys. We ought to be the most happiest folks on earth. And when everything is going left in handbasket, why in the world are you peaceful? Well, sometimes I got to get there, but I'm going to live forever. Where are you going? Right? And so we see this, that, let's read this paragraph. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. Seek ye first the kingdom, Matthew 6:33. When the clock always comes on 6:33, it's like a reminder. Are you seeking the kingdom above everything else? Always thanking the Father. He's enabled you to share the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light. For he delivered us, rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. Turn with me to Colossians 1. I want you to see this stark reality of what the transfer of what God did. Colossians chapter 3. The other reason you need a paper Bible, we teach our grandkids what are the books of the Bible and what's their sequence. I remember when I first got saved, it's like, I don't know where that is. I'm in this, you know, okay. Now, once you become familiar with the roadmap, you're like, oh, that's Colossians. I know where that is. It's right after Philippians. So you get to a place where the Lord will order in your mind the location of the word, and it's placed for a specific reason. And so, all right, all scripture is given. Are you there? Let me get to Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, and let's begin. This is amazing scripture here, but all right. Let's begin in verse 11. Colossians chapter 1, 11. We also pray that you will be strengthened with all his glorious power, so you'll have all the endurance and patience that you need. May you be filled with joy, always thanking the Father. He's enabled you to share in his inheritance. Boy, what promises. That belongs to the people who live in the light. Living in the light. Men prefer darkness and like to live there. And then he goes on, verse 13, he says, for why? He has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. I like how King James even says it more. Verse 13, he delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us. You've been translated. That's that scripture. Remember 2 Corinthians 5:17? When you get born again, you're actually a new creature. That word actually is you're a new species. That's like, wait a minute. What? No, I'm the same. I look the same, right? Yeah. But there is a place where that is going to, you're going to put on immortality when he comes. Your spirit man's alive. And now you've been created as a new creature in Christ, a new species. The old man needs to die. There's where your free will comes in. Because my soul man, my mind, will, and emotion, it still remembers all the stuff and loves to try to draw you back into that same stuff. But now that I'm born again by the power of God, the Holy Spirit in me, the same Spirit, Romans 8:11, that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. The same Spirit that raised Christ on the day that his Father said, alive, boom, and he came out of the grave, and it so impacted the Shroud of Turin, many of the Shroud of Turin, the body wraps that were around Jesus, when that power hit that body, that broken, drained body, it was so powerful, it lit up the Shroud of Turin. And they're trying to debate, well, is it real? Hey, When God said, my son lives, now he's already alive in heaven because he went down and got the keys of the kingdom. He didn't die. The physical man died and paid your sins, but he went down and got the keys of the kingdom. Give me the keys back, Satan. I got hell and death in my hands now, right? I got that. And then he led captives. Matthew writes this thing. He says, when the shroud, when the tapestry in the Holy of Holies tore open, the moment Jesus died, 4 inches thick, right? Ripped it wide open. It says the Holy of Holies is wide open. It says there were those that were so impacted who were believers in the Old Testament, they came out of their graves. Now, I don't know about you. Can you imagine grandma standing, grandma, you're alive. I told you. You can say there ain't no fire, but that doesn't put the fire out, right? You can say, I'm here, right? So this is where that kingdom of God came. The power of God came alive. It's like, that same spirit lives here. Now that's like, how can I go to church on Sunday and then Monday morning I'm like, oh Lord, because there's a fight that's on. You're in a war. The devil's trying to lie to you, but guess what? Greater is he. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in this world. And so you got to get on the whole armor of God. Devil, I've had about enough of your stuff. Last night we had a situation with one of our grandkids. My wife and I said, we're going to make a declaration. She spent the whole day reading the Shepherd's Rod on year 2025. She's reading me all the declarations, hours and hours, reading declarations. I'm like, you're wearing me out, woman. Wearing me out. She's like, no, this is really good. And so that night I said, well, why don't we do what that suggested about it. So we would just started going to war. Sarah got on the phone. We started texting back and forth, texted to Texas and said, and guess what? Things are breaking. And so, look, it's a fight. You know, I realize we can't make people do what they, but we can certainly intercede. I love what Bobby said about his Uncle Clyde. There's no way Uncle Clyde's going to get saved, right? And he prayed and his grandma, his blind grandma, and Clyde got saved. And so pray and intercede. Pray and intercede. That's why we place such a high value on intercession. Come Wednesday mornings, 9 to 10:30, if you're open. I know people are working and all that. But we've got intercessors that are praying in the courthouses. And we've got a need in our city, in our region. We don't want to see any of our high schools attacked. We don't want to see any of the shootings. We don't want to see gang activity. We don't want to see any fentanyl. We're not burying anybody else with fentanyl. And so, Lord, I pray. Get what you have not because you're not asking God. It's according to your faith being under. You want to speak to the mountain? Speak to the mountain. Well, no, Pastor, you know, that's just not my thing. Well, then find your thing, right? And do it. Oh, every joint supplies. All right, let's praise the Lord. Okay, moving right along. So we're going to be translated from the kingdom of light to the kingdom, from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. Look at the two kingdoms at war. I listed them there, and then 1 through 5 here. The kingdom has both a present and a future aspect to it. You've heard maybe this statement, the kingdom is now and not yet. Jesus said the kingdom is at hand, right? Repent, therefore. So it's the kingdom is now, but it's not fully fulfilled until Jesus' second coming. But in the meantime, there's a remnant that's alive that is coming about and exposing the darkness, right? Ephesians tells us, expose the darkness. And man, what happened this week? What in the world? Are you talking about shaking it up? Wow, it's like the Lord is shaking it up. Regardless of where your politics are, you got to see this things are moving. And so there is a present and a future aspect. And we're not completely realizing until he comes. Number two, the scriptures reveal the kingdom of heaven has come into the world to reveal his divine power and love in action. We know this, but people still love darkness. Well, why do they love darkness? Because the old man likes to sin, right? Sin can be pleasurable, but there's a consequence to that. I like when people come in for prayer ministry, you know, I'm addicted to marijuana. I've been smoking it all my life, and there's a psychological factor, or I'm an alcoholic, or I never thought I'd be doing drugs or heroin. And so they didn't wake up and say, I can't wait to become a drug addict. They started, the door cracked open, an enticement. Well, the world says you can do it. Feel good, do it. Friday night. Yeah, go ahead. There are consequences to those choices. It's called sin, and that's called rebellion. And 1 Samuel 15 says, if you rebel against the word of God, where he says, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. So when you open the door to that, you open the door to rebellion. And 1 Samuel 15 says, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. you actually become bewitched. Right? Rebellion is, we know that from Saul. He goes in witchcraft and darkness. Korah in Jude chapter 2, we were reading that yesterday, my wife and I. Korah led a group of 250 prominent leaders against Moses. Guess what happened to him? That the Lord opened up the earth and swallowed him and his family, all 250 of them. And so rebellion is very serious. And so when we start looking at rebellion, well, you know, I'm young, I want to do what I want. Well, go read Ecclesiastes. What did Solomon say about everything he tried? He got at the end of himself in chapter 12. He says, man, I've had all of it. Wine, women, song, money, value. The wise, he says, let me tell you just what you ought to do. Fear God and do what he says. That's my conclusion. It's like, that sounds like really good. And then he warns the youth, do that. Don't mess up like some of us have. Okay. So we see this. The scriptures reveal that the kingdom is in power. Number three, the good seed. He describes here what's the kingdom like. And he goes through all these parables, which are kind of neat. The first one is, he says, I came with the word of God and planted the seed of word of God. But in the middle of the night, the devil came and planted weeds. And now the weeds and the wheat are growing together. And the disciples said, well, should we go and just get rid of all the weeds? No, you're going to damage the wheat if you pull them all up now. Let them grow together. And when the harvest comes, we'll separate that which is good from that which is such an interesting prophetic revelation there about the end of days. So he says, the enemy and the weeds will grow together until the harvest at the end. Then he goes, it's like a treasure, a pearl that you find. How precious is that? Says he sells everything he has to go buy that field. Sounds like love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and spirit, right? Then he goes, he says, it's like a net. He's going to throw a net. Whew. Have you ever been fishing or clamor? I used to be a clamor in Great South Bay, and my girlfriend would call for me. We'd separate out. These are the good clams. These are the bad. These cherry necks, they're going to bring good money. Oh, that one, forget that one. And so it's just like this catch. He throws it out. You're going to separate the good fish from the bad fish. Another example. Like a mustard seed or yeast. A little bit of faith. Woo-hoo-hoo. How much faith does it take? We already just said it's a gift from God, right? That gift of faith from God. So that gift that's given, that little seed starts working in your life. And then what does he say in Philippians 1:6? He who began the work in you will keep performing it until he comes. Right? So this is the examples of what the kingdom looks like. Well, Pastor, who's going to inherit the kingdom? I'm glad you asked. Number four. Right? We know, I just quoted this, those who are born again. Right? New creatures in Christ. Well, Pastor, what is going to be the evidence of me being born again? We just read it in Ephesians 2. You used to live like this. If you're living like hell in the rest of the world, that's your lifestyle. I question whether you're born again. Now, I get it sometimes as a, what I'll call, some people go from 0 to 60. It's like, man, I just, others it's, no. I've had to go through some pain in my rebellion. God loved me in my discipline, and man, it's been hard, but I'm back. I'm getting rededicated. However you get there, it's okay, but he says you're a new creature in Christ, so you must be born again. Well, those who enter the narrow gate, what's the narrow gate? Jesus, right? When you get through, remember he said many choose the broad way, but those who walk through the narrow gate of Jesus, and then once you get inside the narrow gate, it's huge. It's like, wow, what's open to us here, right? Those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. That's an interesting scripture. One of the, if you're not being annoyed by the devil, you might want to ask, why not? He declares war against those who keep their testimony. And if you're not keeping your testimony, why would he bother with you? He's got others that need to go after. I'm just saying, right? So I'm not saying, oh, I can't wait to be persecuted. No. And we all like, is this spiritual warfare? Is this my rebellion? I don't know, God, but help me. He will. And in the meantime, he'll work all things together for good, right? So when you get in that mess, it'd be good to say, did I give the devil something to work with? If so, repent. But if you can't find anything, then you know it's warfare. And I'm going to come against you. I'm going to take a firm stand. Come on, devil. I'll tell you what. You're not going to touch my family. You're not going to touch my finances, my health, in Jesus' name. And so, and it doesn't always shift. I just heard this morning, 17 years in the working out of these things. Sometimes it takes a long time. And that's why he tells us persevere. And we don't like that. We like to hurry up. Give me the desires of my heart. You know, wait patiently. Psalm 37 says, right? Okay. Those persecuted for right, number 4D. Those who receive and believe the good news of Jesus. Philip, I love this. Philip goes, the persecution happens. Well, why in the world, Lord, you know, why did the religious folks want to kill Jesus and now they're going to kill the disciples and persecution comes in the church and they were told to go, right? He tells us in Acts, go into all the world, be my witnesses, Acts chapter 1, when you receive the Holy Spirit. Well, they're not moving. So the Lord says, okay. And he brings persecution in. And Philip's a pretty smart guy. He works in House of Mercy with the widows. He's not an apostle. But we see in the last part, I think it's Acts 27, it says, Philip the evangelist who worked with the widows in Acts chapter 6 has four daughters who now operate in prophecy. He's the only evangelist I know of called out in the scriptures. But he started out in House of Mercy ministry. And then, what, 20-some-odd years later, he's an evangelist. Okay, well, he gets persecuted, and he decides, I'm going to go to Samaria where the half-breeds are because the Jews don't go to Samaria. So that's a really wise decision. They won't come bother me here, so let me go to Samaria. And Philip, chapter 8, he's preaching the gospel and the kingdom of God, and people are responding, getting saved, getting water baptized. And Peter and John are like, they're in Jerusalem. They haven't left yet. And they're like, no, not... That can't be. Remember, they didn't come to the Gentiles yet. That didn't happen until Acts chapter 9 and 10 with Cornelius and Peter going, right? So they only go into the house of Israel at that time. But Philip goes, who's not an apostle, but he's an evangelist in his heart. He's going to be for sure as a fivefold minister later. He goes to Samaria, starts preaching the kingdom. People getting saved. Demons are running out. People getting turned out. It says leprosy's. And the big boys back in the, they're like, those are Gentiles. Right? So they send the big guns. Peter and John go there, and it's interesting. You read Acts chapter 8. I love it. It says, the Holy Spirit had not yet fallen on them. These believers now in the kingdom that Philip preached have believed it. They're seeing miracles, but the Holy Spirit had not yet fallen on the believers. Well, that'll mess with your theology, depending on where you're at. So we need the Holy Spirit. They were water baptized and they believed and they had not been spirit filled yet. Ooh, wow. And of course, Peter and John lay hands on them and the Holy Spirit falls on them. And then you see what happens in Acts chapter 10, 11 with Cornelius, Acts chapter 19 with Paul in Ephesus. So I just want to encourage you. This is that place where we have to pursue the kingdom. So who will receive it? Those who receive the kingdom of God and have a lifestyle. Well, then, Pastor, who will not? Now, here's where it gets kind of scary. Who will not inherit the kingdom? Scripture's really clear. It's not pretty. But I think the fear of the Lord, the shepherd's rod, clearly, this for 2025, is the awe of God or the fear of God. Remember last fall, last summer, we did John Bevere's study on the awe of God. We did, I think, 6 or 8 weeks. And we studied the book of the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you don't fear God, you're messed up. He's powerful. And, you know, this idea, he's full of grace. He is, but he's also full of justice. He's a God of grace and justice. And so we would do well to fear the Lord, which would put back pressure on any of our sinful desires to cause us to want to get off track. So then he lists, these are some of the fruit, the negative fruit that you will see in a person who is potentially not going to inherit the kingdom. The unrighteous, I listed 5 or 6 scriptures here, but I'll just, the unrighteous who have decided to live a lifestyle of sexual immorality, idolatry, unbelief, adultery, practicing homosexuality, murderers, thieves, greedy, drunkards, practicing witchcraft, those who practice orgies, cowards, and liars, and there's others. So when you start looking at that list, it's like living a lifestyle. So if that's the practice, if you have a regular practice of participating in these, you really need to get to a place of repentance. Right? Now, God is grace, and he'll give power. All of this is not about perfectionism. I get it. Because he's the one who declares us righteous, even when we know we're not righteous in all areas of our life. He's very patient with us. It's kind of like when your grandchildren are growing up, it's like you raise the level of correction based on their age and their ability. But when we get to a place where we have revelation of the truth, he says he will judge you based on the light that you've been shown. So there's a test for those who have been sitting in church for X number of years. What's your lifestyle? Right? And I'm speaking to myself. There's another scary scripture. We who preach the word are going to get a double test. Pray for me, please, Jesus, okay? All right. So let me land this thing. Turn the page. Don't be afraid and don't get all shamed and guilted, because perfect love expels fear, right? He tells us in 1 John 4:18. Since you were once dead in your disobedience, but God. So if the Holy Spirit's putting an emphasis in an area of your life, which, hey, all of us, the devil knows how to play us. Some people it's a particular area, others it's another area. But the power of the Holy Spirit that lives, that's why you have to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You got to have the power, right? He says in Jerusalem, Jesus comes in Acts chapter 1, in verse 4, he says, don't leave Jerusalem until the Father sends the gift that I told you about before. Jesus is telling, during that 40 days of after the resurrection, he tells his disciples, don't leave until the Father's gift comes. I've told you about this. When it comes, here's going to be a sign of it coming. You're going to receive power and become my witness. So if we're not witnessing and there's no power, maybe you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit yet. And pursue it. Well, how can I get that? Well, Luke 11 says, if an evil father can give good gifts to his children, how much more would the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? That's the Father's gift. You ought to ask the Father for it. And there are those that are in pursuit. I want more. How much more do you want? You can have as much as you want. What's the depths of his love? It's endless. The fathomless riches of Christ, Paul tells us. How much love do you want? How much power do you want? Like, wow. Anyway, I just want us to be rich in that pursuit of him, because we're made. And then I just listed scriptures. I wrote down pages and pages when what scriptures talk about the kingdom of God. How many scriptures about seek ye first, pursue the kingdom, seek first the kingdom. It's here. There's just over and over again. The kingdom of God is so important in our understanding of the identity. We have a choice to pursue the kingdom. Seek first. Whatever you need, think about what you need right now. How big is the need? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything you need, doesn't say everything you want, right? Oh, Lord, give me a Mercedes Benz. No. No. Unless the Lord says, you can have a Mercedes Benz. I don't want it, by the way. I like my hunting truck. But I want you to see that seek first whatever your greatest need is. Ask the Lord. If that need's not getting met, how am I doing on the seeking? Because your word, you can actually say, Lord, I'm doing my best to seek you right now. If I'm seeking you first and I'm walking in a lifestyle that hasn't brought rebellion where he's going to steal, kill, and destroy, right? John 10:10, the greatest job description. Jesus came to give life in all of its abundance, and the devil came to steal, kill, and destroy. So if the devil's operating, stealing, killing, and destroying, I got to ask if I opened a door anywhere. But once I get revelation on that and repented of it and turn, now, Lord, you said, this is what you said. I'm doing my best to seek. So, Lord, and you know my story. When this little girl was sick and I wasn't even sure there was a God, and I cut a deal with him. My mom says, you're good. I don't see it. I don't even know if you're real. You heal this little girl and then I'll believe you. Well, guess what? He did. And so I would ask you to, you can ask the Lord. I would encourage you to journal. I got a journal. There's stuff in here. I'm journaling for all of us. Where are we going? What's the direction? Journal. Ask the Lord, I don't understand this one. Help me. And then, this sounds engineerish. I write my requests and my questions in red pen. My wife will say, your red pen drives me happy. I'm like, I got red everywhere. It's just, anyway. And so, then when I get answers, I write it in black ink. Like, Lord, are we supposed to go to Spain last year? Yes. And it confirms through Battelle. Well, who's supposed to go? Because the word of God has the timing of God and the strategy of God. So I need to know all three. I don't want the wrong pin team members going. I don't want to miss the timing of it. So ask God. Journal. It's really great because then I can go back and look at years. Whoa, God, I heard you. That's amazing. Yeah, that's confirming. It's good when the pastor hears from the Lord, right? And so, all right. So my point of this is the kingdom of God is real. And there are those that need to be transferred into the kingdom. Let's stand. Before we leave, we've done these last three Sundays of what are the next steps for certain people. And so I was talking to somebody this week. We haven't done this in a really long time. On the way out, we're going to give you a survey. Survey says, right? And by the way, it's not next week. There's a typo here. It's next week. That's Nexi, that's Southern for Nexi. Anyway, so we would love to hear. I get excited when people, they come in and they tell us, I really like this about the church, I like that about the church, I don't really like that about, or I don't understand this. A lot of times we hear, what's with all the flags? What's that about? All right. Well, Psalm 20 says, lift up your banner before the Lord. Well, why do you got these children running around and sometimes they whack us with their stuff, right? I said, well, because there's more anointing when you get whacked. I mess with them. I'm just messing with them. But I said, because the Bible tells us to look at the children, study them, and become like them. In their humility, become like a child or you can't see or enter. The other thing is, if we're going to be a family, they used to be, let's put all the kids in another room and let's not bother the adults. That doesn't sound like family to me. I look when my grandkids are, Papa, they got this karaoke machine for Christmas. Oh, Lord, how many times that we've heard this? And Sarah's teaching them how to do worship, and they're playing on the piano, and it's wild. But I love it, and I think the Lord likes it when he sees children learning how to worship. Train up the children in the way they should go. I remember years ago, we were doing Global Way. I told this morning. We went to Global Day of Prayer in another church. I won't lay it out there. And some of our children were there. And when the worship started, our children got up and they started dancing. And all those from that church were like, they didn't know any better. That's what we do. I love when they say, can we go to church? I want to go to church and worship. As opposed to, I don't want to go to church. I never like anything. The snacks are terrible. All right. Okay. All right. So on the survey, would you tell us what you like and also maybe things you don't like? We're going to be mature about it. So take some time this week and ask the Lord. Pastor Willie said, what if they say they don't like us? Well, be good to know, I guess, right? Not everybody's going to love you, Pastor Willie. That's part of that persecution, right? Hey, I'm just kidding. He did say that, but you be honest about it. You know, you could dress it up a little bit, but all right, let me pray. My wife's shaking her head, I know. All right. Lord Jesus, Lord, thank you, Lord, for these people who are patient and kind. Lord, I pray that the kingdom of God would advance. I'm praying this week, divine appointments. There are people sitting here that have had met people from our congregation out and about that has opened the door now to their families. So, Lord, I thank you that you're on a journey with us, and we want to be part of that. We want you to advance your kingdom. First in us. How can it advance if it's not in us first? And Lord, I thank you for your grace that you're so patient and long-suffering with us. How many years you worked with me and still working with me. So Lord, I thank you for your grace that is all sufficient. I love you, Lord. We love you. I want everyone here to know how precious they are. All the different quirks, circumstances, attitudes. Lord, the body of Christ is really unique. When I look across, like, wow, really unique how you put it all together, Lord. I just thank you. Bless each one here in Jesus' name.
We hope you are blessed by this message. We encourage you to tune in wherever you get your podcasts, and we invite you to come as you are. Join our family at Global River Church, Sundays at 10 a.m. and Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. Grace be with you in Jesus' name.